or sounds as good now as it did back then. Tom Sheehan first met REM in 1984, being compelled initially by both their southern strangeness and their unique alternative twist on 60s folk song and folk rock and jangle. Between 84 and 2005, Sheehan would capture a succession of iconic images of REM. He's put it all together in a brilliant new book called REM, Athens GA. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from London, the man himself, Tom Sheehan. Tom, good afternoon to you.
How are you doing? You all right?
Not too bad, thank you. They are a band who have sort of stood the test of time. What was it like? How did you first come across REM? Where did you first meet them?
I was dispatched by Melody Maker, which is a music paper that I worked for a long, long time ago. And I was just sent down to A&M offices on New King's Road in London, and we took some pictures. My first session with them was in their, managing director's office. They were like any young band, a little bit kind of, why are we doing this? Is it necessary kind of thing, But, there was a certain charisma to the band, and that kind of, the thing is, you fall in love with the music, and then you follow it up and you meet these people, and you find out that, they're really, really nice guys. They've got a charismatic singer that, that is just wonderful to listen to talking about things and listen to their tunes. Wonderful people.
I mean, was it easy to, had you heard of them before? Did you like the music before? You were saying, okay, so Yeah.
I was into them before. And, although I can't play a comb and paper, I've always been a lover of music, even to this day, I'm buying new records, as I'm equally buying old records that I might have had or ones that passed me by 20, 30, 40 years ago, So it's just something that's in the blood. And, their third Murmur was out and, I got to them, spring of 84. So the record was out in 83, but I don't know how long it had been out. So it was less than a year. So, and there was a kind of a buzz about that new kind of style of American music, And, Melody Maker, the editor at the time, was very much into all that kind of American rock with Green on Red, et cetera, So, they were sort of like tailor-made for the Melody Maker, I'd say, because perhaps, myself and Alan Jones, the editor, virtually the same age, are probably about 10, 12 to 15 years older than the people in the band. So we remember the Byrds first time around, So once these cats in America, discover the Byrds or whoever, we're sort of like tapped into it, and then they make it their own, which is always a wonderful thing to hear.
I mean, it's always a bit difficult, isn't it, when you meet somebody whose music you really like, because you're not quite sure if they're going to get along with them, because sometimes they can be a little bit difficult. But this wasn't a problem with REM.
No, not really. I expect it to. In fact, I often prefer not to photograph people that I love their music, but that's really hard, because I've been going for a long time, and I love loads of records, I mean, the thing is, when you're working, you're not really thinking about their records, you have your own endeavour. It's wonderful if you do actually like the tunes that they make and like their company or whatever, but, you're just there to do something, and the something you got to do is it takes precedent over any feelings you might have, and that goes above and beyond how you're feeling that day or how they're feeling. So you have to kind of make sure that you leave the building with what you've come for,
And I mean, how much, because Michael Stipe is a bit of a photographer himself, so how much did he put into, what you were trying to get across? Because you started doing a series with them.
Yeah, he's a natural in the sense of, I'm not sure when we first met in 84 how far he was down the line with photography. I think he was down quite a bit, because I think I didn't say on the radio early in the summer that his father had bought him a camera, or he'd loaned a camera from his father when he was a teenager or something. So he had a kind of a handle on it, as were. But the thing is, I've often met musicians that are, budding photographers or keen photographers or great photographers. But, Michael is such a tremendous front person. So he understands the fact of the appeal of a lead singer, but also he can do it on another level, because he understands photography and he understands what I'm after, or any other photographer that's there photographing him. And as he does understand what's required, he can be economical with time and give us what we require, e.g. a few good shapes, and off we all go happy, you know. He does totally understand the whole process.
And what was it like, because, I mean, you've photographed them for over 20 years. What was it like seeing, did you see them change? Because they went from being, you know, a jangly southern indie band from the States to absolutely huge.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, because I've been doing it so long, you know, there's so many bands that you met and, you know, they couldn't scrape together for a bottle of brown ale, you know. So, you know, one year you meet them and they're potless. And then you meet them a few years down the line and they're rich, you know. It's the kind of gold that you and I perhaps will never see, you know. And I just think that's fantastic, you know. It's sort of like, you know, luck plays a tremendous part in anything, but most of all it's the skill of the songwriting and the music, you know, that gets, you know, luck's just a big part of it, but the quality is another thing. And certainly with R.E.M. they made quality music from start to finish, you know. I know they're deceased, but they're still in the ether, aren't they? You know, I mean, the band still exists in a way because, you know, they're one of those large bands that are going to perpetually, presumably, bring out records that are, you know, like the Bob Dylan bootleg series, but the R.E.M. bootleg series, you know, number 28.
Because, you know, they're, you know, Michael Stipe, as a frontman, as somebody who thought about what it means to be a frontman, what it means to be a quote-unquote pop star, I mean, he always seems more, you know, a little more intelligent than perhaps your average rapper.
Yeah, but I think, but there again, I mean, like, I've had experiences with rappers and, you know, Snoop and Chuck D and, you know, all those cats, you know, and it's like, you know, everybody's got their own shtick and you just kind of, you know, weld yourself, mold yourself around what, the thing is, normally, I'm going to know something about the music, so I don't go in anywhere cold, you know, even if it's, a group that I don't particularly like. I've only got a few blind spots, you know, heavy metal being one, but there again, you know, I photograph heavy metal bands, and they always throw shapes, you know, and I was there, you know, whether Aussie is metal or rock, I don't know, because it's a genre I'm not particularly interested in, let's say, but I was there when he famously urinated on the Alamo in Texas. It was a terrible thing to do, you know, and as the Texas Ranger said to Aussie, when you urinate on the Alamo, you urinate on the state of Texas, you know. So I'll kind of have a handle, a backstory on whoever I'm photographing. It's not just a kind of a, you'd have to be armed in a professional manner. I think you just have to be interested, you know.
So why did you decide to put, I mean, this book comes out to celebrate, or, you know, at the same time as 30 years since the Green album came out?
That was coincidence, although I love Green dearly, you know, and that was one of those albums that kind of was like, you know, that was more than a couple of steps up for them. You know, they'd kind of gone from, you know, like, say, yeah, a college rock band or an indie band or whatever you will, and they were just bang. They've, you know, they haven't gone up a rung. They've gone up, you know, two or three, you know. So, that was, I absolutely love that album. And then following Green, I think it was out of time, you know. So, you know, and then they were stellar.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your favourite session with them? Can you pick one, or was it always enjoyable, or was there one that you thought, you know, this bunch of pictures, this series of images? Because also the industry changed, I mean, as well in that 20
Completely.
Years of time, didn't it?
Completely, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's more like, it is the most important thing, although travelling from the UK to go to America or 4 days in Sydney to do them, wherever you go, whatever band, it's great going somewhere, but there's no reason to be, the reason you're there is to get the work. So, you know, and once you can nail the work, you can then maybe relax into the environment that you're in. But if there is a picture, now I've said it before, the picture that's actually on the book cover, on the hardback cover, not the slipcase, the one where it's just a black and white of Michael Stipe, you know. And I like that because it's a tremendous blow on a photograph that I took in a hotel room. And it's just the shape that I love, you know. And people say they mourn the lack of the locks on his head, but the sculptural shape of his head and the shoulders and all that and the twist, I love, you know. That's what I really, really like, you know. So to me, that's a kind of picture I like, you know. It's it's kind of contrived in a way, because I said, do this, do that. And he immediately knew what he was, you know, because he saw what I was using. So he knows what, you know, he's safe, you know, he knows what's happening. And it's like, bang, you got it, you know. So it's a contrived picture, but it only took seconds. We didn't set it up, you know, just keep your bum on the wall, lean forward, put a shoulder around there, put your eyes up to the sky, bang, you know. And I got one and eyes looking one way and eyes looking the other way, or up and down or whatever, you know. I mean, and it's done in seconds. It isn't, it's not, you know, like an operation, you know. And some photographers, you know, high-end photographers, if you are art photographers, will take a long time. I don't particularly like that, because I think you lost the essence, you know. I think, you know, the great music isn't done in years. Maybe some it is. If Fleetwood Mac go away for 50 years and make a record, I don't know. But do you know what I mean? I love the spontaneity of things, you know. And you know, you're in an environment.
It must have,
got to make something happen.
It must have been great fun as well, just going back and through all the images and the memories.
Yeah. It was funny, and you do forget things over the years, because you know, a lot of them have been locked away. You know, they just bang, they're in the file, and there you go. Someone might ring up and say, "Oh, have you got a picture of?" And you pull it out, scan it, and off you go. You know, but you know, to all intents and purposes, a lot of it hasn't seen the cold light of day, and it is very funny. You know, and there again, you know, people have different interpretations on pictures. My designer, Carl, lovely, lovely man, he suggested a few things. Well, yeah, kind of forgot about that, you know. And it's like anything, it's a joint effort. You know, I'd never like to do a solo run, because you can be tripped up, you know, on anything, you know, anything in life, you know. Always have some friends around you is my motto.
And also, Michael Stipe was kind enough to do the foreword to this book.
Tremendous, yeah, that was great. It was really sweet, you know. I sent him over to his management, to Bertis, lovely man, like a low res thing, and he just kind of went, wow, bloody hell, I remember these, you know. It's like, and you know, it's humbling that people do that, because this is like my fourth book in about 2.5 years, and it's humbling that I don't like to ask people for anything, but it is a tremendous help, and I'm sure they. A lot of it do it in the will it's taken for, as you know what I mean. It's sort of like, hey, here's a guy who's photographed for 30 years or whatever, and we're unearthing this stuff. It isn't as if it's been all over the place and plastered and been a t-shirt here and a dodgy poster there in Japan. You know, it's just like, you know what I mean? I've never utilized the archive in that way. So it's a kind of it's another step along from each time I meet whatever band I photograph for a period of time, you just start again from where you left off, because you've done nothing wrong. You haven't stitched them up. You haven't run something that's dodgy. Anything that runs dodgy in a magazine is going to look bad on, you know, the magazine, the editor, the designer, the photographer, you know. So, you know, you just got to keep things straight, you know, and if you're straight, you'll never go wrong.
The book is called REM, Athens, GA, REM in Photographs from 1984 to 2005. Seems like a blink of an eye. It's by Tom Sheehan. It came out on the 7th of November to coincide with the 30th anniversary of Green.
Yeah.
Blimey. If people want to find out more about you or buy the book, where can they go, Tom?
Well, they can go to... I mean, I have a website. It's kind of skeletal. It's got some information. But if they want to buy the book, they can go to Flood Gallery, which is www.theFloodGallery.com. It's a poster gallery in Greenwich Market in London, and they do shipping and airmail, and they do other books, you know, design books, photography books, you know, poster books, all that sort of stuff. You know, it's kind of a small art gallery, if you will, you know, art publishing house.
And it only begs the question after that one, and you've done a few of these before, like you said, what are you up to next?
Well, on the slate is possibly a book on Echo on a Bunnymen, purely and simply because Mac is an hilarious person to be with.
Right.
And I photographed him before the first Bunnymen album came out all those years ago. I think I photographed him in about 1979 the first time, October I think it was Colchester, I can't remember. My last encounter with him was just a mere 2 months ago for Q magazine. So, you know, I've got like 15 sessions with Echo and the Bunnymen, you know, before Pete sadly left us, you know.
Right. And
then when the Bunnymen came to an end, and then he started up again, and it was just Mac and Will, you know, and I did Mac in his solo years, and, you know, it just rolls on. And it's bewildering and baffling that I've been doing it for so long. When I look back, I go, good Lord, you know. Did I? You know, I thought I was 12.
it's the shoulder pads and the hairstyles that get us, isn't it? That's the problem.
Man alive. Never subscribe to that old chap. No. I've always worn the same clobber for 68 years. Even in the pram, I was wearing a button-down shirt, a scarf, and a pair of jeans and a pair of boots.
If only I'd done that. The book is called REM Athens GA, REM in Photographs, 1984 to 2005. It's by Tom Sheehan. Go out and get it. Check it out on the Flood Gallery. And also we'll put a link on the TRE virtual book site. Tom, it's been a pleasure to speak to you today, mate.
Likewise. Thank you very much indeed.